This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We are in the last hour of the show. Welcome back to the show. So we are well within the 16 days of activism for no violence against women and children. This is a campaign that takes place annually from the 25th of November, International Day of No Violence Against Women, to the 10th of December, International Human Rights Day. We have with us this morning a therapist and a registered nurse, a friend of the show, Sister Basha, is here. She's my guest for this discussion here. So we'll be looking at ways that gender-based violence survivors can seek assistance, all right, and rebuild themselves. Because we know very well that when you find yourself in this dark space or dark period of your life, you can just basically not see kopile or leko morago. You know what I mean? You can just be that person that is so confused and devastated by finding yourself here and not even see tomorrow. But then as a survivor, you can seek assistance, right? You can rebuild. You can become something, you know, outside of this trauma or this incident that you encountered, because really you can't allow for this to define you, right? So Sister Basha is coming here to let us in on, and unpack in terms of how a support can be given in this instance. Also advices that, you know, it can be given to your listeners. So if you are one person that needs to be counseled here, it's an opportunity for you guys to just come through and on the show in this hour to form a part of that. Do call in on 0861 987 000. One thing that is amazing about what Sister Basha is bringing to the table this morning is that they've also partnered with a law firm, right, to assist with a legal advice. So you are not alone. We don't just listen to you and then we let it be. So we listen to you and then we intervene and then we link you with the right people so that you can actually know what is happening in the space and seek healing as comprehensive as possible. Listen to me, Sister Basha, saying we do this, we do that. I'm throwing myself in there. You know, I'm part of the, you know, the therapist there at your practice.
Good morning, Katlego.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and good morning to the FM listeners. I'm just cracking up this side because I'm just now listening to you, and I'm thinking, okay, no, I think we are on the right track. One of these days, I'm just gonna have you as a colleague, and we would just definitely be doing this.
You know what? We'll just get it rolling. But thank you very much for honoring the invite. I'll be talking 16 days of activism for no violence against women and children campaign. That campaign is well with us. We've already seen a lot of activities in terms of visibility of just raising awareness around issues of violence meted at women and children, and also just taking stock of where we are as a country, where this process is concerned. Maybe let me in on, year in, year out, we find ourselves here, right? Where, you know, within this period, the 16 days, we take stock and then we just basically put measures in place for implementation. Are we winning the war against this scourge? I mean, we were talking about how, you know, during that gender-based violence and femicide, it was a summit that was called by the president. You saw a lot of people coming out, activists coming out, organizations that were built over time, and it was just interesting to see that we have a lot of organizations, right, that really have been built and positioned to deal with issues of gender-based violence, abuse, and the likes. But what they need is support. They need, the right measures, the right people to speak to, so that the interventions can be felt. Are we winning here when it comes to issues of violence, and as we take stock here, is it an opportunity every year for us to reflect so that we can just take stock and put the wheels in motion in terms of our implementation?
I think this would be quite a bit of a difficult question to answer, and I'll tell you why, Katlego, because there's quite a lot of organizations, as you've mentioned, that have put in such a lot of work. So many sacrifices have been made without government support, and so many people have been assisted, and they continue to be assisted on a daily basis from these spaces that are not really government-funded or not even supported in any way by the state. So with that being said, I think there is quite a bit of a head start because work is being done. And in as much as we come to this place each and every year, there is inventory that we can sort of keep account to as to how far we have progressed. If you look at the issues of gender-based violence as far back as 5 years ago, you will see that there has been quite a gradual incline. Yes, of course, people are ranting around on social media, and some of these issues are raised in a very open and in vulnerable spaces, if I can use that word. But you can see that people are speaking up. There's a voice that is there, that is an opportunity for women and for children to speak up as well. So that means we are getting a head start in comparison to having all these other issues that are affecting our country and our society, you know, happen without anyone knowing that it is happening, because it doesn't also, you know, remove or take away from the fact that we are sitting with a crisis when it comes to, you know, abuse aimed at women and children. And I guess, again, you know, when you look at the work that has already been done by organizations, and then again you look at the no effort, and I say it bluntly, the no efforts that are made by the state as well, you realize that it is so disheartening. Because remember, when we talk about gender-based violence, Katlego, we're also talking about different facets of the state that is responsible to holistically manage the situation. So if a person presents themselves at the police station, they already failed at that level of the police station. If they are presented at a provincial hospital to be seen by a social worker, to be seen by, you know, a person that's going to help with the welfare affairs of things, they are also not assisted on that end. If you look into the judiciary part of things, if they end up in court, they are also not getting enough support there. So there's so many other spaces where you would realize that, in actual fact, you know, are we winning or are we not winning? And not obviously taking away people that are already so committed, because there are people that are just a minute, a very small number, that are already doing such a lot of work when it comes to making sure that they are fighting, you know, for women and children affected by abuse. So it is quite a bit of a difficult one. And I think, yet again, each and every year we are here.
Yeah, but I like the fact that then it's not just a talk shop. There's a little bit of movement, like you're saying, but the government can do better in terms of making sure that they also are visible in this space. The campaigns that we see are running out and the likes in terms of raising awareness. Are we aware really of our rights? Are we aware of the do's and the don'ts when someone looks at me in a way or touches me inappropriately or does this and that? Are we aware of really the different facets to violence that can be leveled at one that is subliminal, that you won't even tell that it's violence until you sit back alone and you're like, how? Mara, really, Sister Basha, that really was an attack, and I didn't even see that it was an attack. The awareness that comes with just the issues of violence and how one should blow the whistle and seek assistance as soon as possible. Are we really finding that to be happening here?
I think we are. There is still a bit of a battle, and I think it's because of the stigma around the whole issue of abuse, right? And I think, you know, even when we look at, you know, the two listeners that send us, you know, their information, you know, one of them has, you know, obviously with consent, of course, has indicated that, you know, they are in a situation where they gave birth to a child who's got cerebral palsy. So ever since, you know, the father is away and the family of the father is away, that the child has got a medical condition, and this is how their reality is going to be like, that this child is not going to walk, is not going to talk, can't hear, is partially blind, a lot of other medical concerns, child is at the hospital undergoing certain operations and things like that, and they just don't want to get themselves involved in all of that. If you look at it, you know, you will realize that it is falling within the category of, you know, abuse against, you know, women and children. Because now in this instance, this mother all of a sudden is thrown at a deep end to have to look after this child as a sole provider of this child, you know. And so people never want to look at scenarios like this as gender-based violence. Right? Because truth is, you know, this is affecting a woman. And then again, it's also affecting an innocent child in the process. So, you know, the neglect on the father's side means that this child is also going to be limited in many ways. And then it means that obviously the life of a mother is going to radically change, because then they are by themselves raising this child. And then also the abuse that is associated, because if there's threats, if the father is saying, look, if you're going to take me to maintenance court, I'm going to, you know, threatening to cause harm and giving subtle hints of, you know, you know, and things like that, then you realize that there's quite a lot of aggressiveness and also violence that is exhibited. Because if you have already been threatened, or, you know, this is what I'm going to do if you pursue this, it's falling within that category. So when it comes to raising awareness, a lot of, you know, people in our society, you know, only reduce gender-based violence to that domestic issue of two people fighting in the house, and that's just about it. It ends there, without really considering the fact that if you were to be in a marriage and you end up separating, or you end up being, you know, dissolving that marriage, and you are left with children by yourself, you're the sole caregiver of that of those children, and the spouse or the ex-spouse that was supposed to really be co-parenting with you, you know, because of violence, you're no longer in that union anymore. And, you know, so it's more like, no, I'm not a part of the 16 days of, you know, activism. I just got a divorce, you know, so I'm not abused. But I mean, what is abuse? You know, if you look into these two scenarios, what is the definition of abuse? What do we say abuse is? Because if there is a listener out there finding themselves in a situation where they're afraid to go to the maintenance court because they were threatened to be killed, or something bad to happen to the child because of, you know, a woman, you know, saying, look, I do need help financially to raise this child. And, you know, the father of that child is saying, I will really deal with you. If you start makrekanyana ajwalo, I will really sort you out, kind of a thing. And there is also a history of violence in that relationship. You do realize that it's also falling within that specs. But if we were to sit down and talk about our experiences, it's almost like society has reduced, you know, the 16 days of activism, you know, alongside issues of just the domestic violence and also sexual assault, never along the lines of children that are found abandoned. You know, children that are found abused, children that are in our foster care, you know, who had to be removed from the homes as a result of violence or abandonment or any other circumstances that could have really been compromising the welfare, the safety, the health of that child.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And I wanted to go there to those stories, right? And also I made a call to our listeners to say that, you know, you're welcome as well to just share your experience with us this morning, so that we can try and see how we craft the solutions together. Because ours here is to just learn from each other as much as we can, not criticize each other, but to build each other up in terms of the discussions that we're having on the show. So if you are one person that has been a victim of violence where this is concerned, or even a perpetrator and the likes here where this is concerned, and you are one person that has since repented, and you are clean, and you've really learned your lesson here, share your story with us. And it's something that really can help someone else that is listening here, right? It can really be something that you're not even directly involved in, but you experienced it from afar as a bystander, but it traumatized you because it was a violent activity that always comes back when things like this happen. So you're also welcome to share with us this morning on 0861 987 000. I am at @KatlegoLogodi_ on Twitter, and of course you're welcome to also use the hashtag #PowerZone. We engage with us on our Twitter page on Twitter, that is being at Power FM at 987. So Sister Basha, I'd like to believe that there are two stories here, and you've touched on the first one by here, and I wanted to go into detail about it as well, in terms of really How did this person reach out to you? Was it a direct message? Was it a person that approached your practice to say that I need you to intervene here? And really, at the crux of it all, what is the gist of this complaint and the intervention? I know there are health issues that are involved here. There's a child and their family dynamics. But then could that really be something that we see as a perpetual kind of abuse and violence that is meted at one indirectly, or not being aware that you're doing it by not being there to support them when they have this baby that is experiencing these health challenges?
To answer your first question, today when I've just posted on my Twitter handle to say that we're going to be having this conversation early in the morning just to talk about, things that are affecting women and children in our country as we are within the 16 days of activism. And, I just want anyone that wants to reach out, and this is the lady that reached out through my direct message and given consent that I should share their story, because they are really, they don't know what to do anymore. And of course, this is a person that has already tried to go to certain places like the children's, the maintenance court. They've already tried, to get the protection order, because there's already been, altercations, and the family of the father of the child's father, and the threats and things like that. They've already tried to reach out to different avenues to get help, but just to bring it into context of understanding that 16 days of activism, it's a bit of a broader spectrum, so it doesn't really involve like with this scenario now and this lady's situation where, the family of the other person is already involved in this, So you can imagine, Katleho, if you were to be in a situation where you're not only just attacked by the one person, but now you're having to deal with the entire family. And at the end of it all, there's still a child, so that it doesn't erase or take away from the fact that there's still a child that really needs support, that needs to be raised, and also who has got needs. Because remember, with children with cerebral palsy, some of them are not able to eat, so they are inserted what we call a PEG feeding. So this is a tube that is inserted on their abdomen to be able to feed them, and they eat certain kind of foods which are fluids, and also they are on nappies because they cannot regulate their bowel movement. Mm-hmm. They have both urinary and fecal incontinence. Yeah. And so this means that for the rest of the child's life, or the rest of the life of that individual, they're going to be using nappies, they're going to be eating different foods, they're going to be on certain medications, neurological medications like anti-seizure medication, and all sorts of other calming medication that, children who have that diagnosis and are raised with that condition, have to take those kind of medications. So it will obviously at the end of the day take its toll on the caregiver, on the primary caregiver, because there's also expenses that are involved. You have to go to the clinic, you have to go to the hospital, and with surgeries and Botoxes that the children have to get, on their arms, and numerous other procedures and physiotherapy, you are constantly having to be out there attending to this child's medical needs and everything, and you're doing this alone. There are costs involved, and you also need support as a young mother yourself and things like that. So you do realize that, there's quite a lot of human suffering that is associated with just this abuse. And of course, because the person has gone to the police and has gone to all these other different avenues, it makes it a little bit harder, because at the end of the day, who is actually responsible in helping this person?
Yeah, most definitely. And also, I wanted to find out from you, is this the case in your line of work, the case of OC, is this something that you've come across where, when there are health complications, then you that on its own just affects the entire dynamic of the relations that one has with their partner to begin with, and with the family, and then also with the society, because you can never say that you were ready for such to happen to you. When all of this happened, is it something that is common in terms of the stories that you probably get from people that go through such?
Yeah, it's actually quite common, and really not to really put a spotlight, you know, on our own race. But you know, when it comes to Batwaba na Baba Africa, you know, when a child atlaha go spetele atla ele mwana ona leng, like especially visible signs of, you know, bohole boiteng ga amogele sege bonolo, you know, so you find that there is quite a lot of, you know, rejection that comes, you know, from either within that family and more specifically from the family of the father, even though in some instances this couple is married. And so that is why sometimes it's, you know, it's so inspiring to see, you know, some of these homes, you know, really showing off their children, whether it's on TikTok or on other platforms, and they're having fun and they're showing us how their day looks like with the feeding and with this and with that. And it's so exciting because you could see that in actual fact, healthy when it comes to raising a child with special needs. So yes, a lot of abuse does happen, and also highlighting the fact that, hence we are on the 16 days of activism, some of these children, as they grow older, they become victims themselves of sexual assaults and other forms of abuse, you know. They are, you know, you only find that the grant money, the disability grant money is taken, but then the child is really appallingly neglected. And some of them, especially, you know, cases of Down syndrome and other conditions, you know, these children end up pregnant and nobody really knows, you know, who is behind, you know, such acts and things like that. So, you know, that is why I said from the beginning of our conversation that, you know, it is so sad, you know, because if you look at gender-based violence or 16 days of activism against women and children abuse, a lot of people in society are reducing it to just this domestic problem only, you know, without really putting a highlight as to how broad this whole topic is. But then that is common, you know, Katleho, that, you know, that child that is going to come into the family that cannot see, can't hear, or can't walk, or there is a form of impairment, you know, in their body, then they would not be, you know, accepted. And, you know, as a result, there's quite a lot of abuse that would be visibly seen, you know, especially for us in medical institutions, where when the child comes in, you are able to see that, you know, they were poorly, you know, neglected, they're not properly washed, or they are malnourished and things like that.
Yeah, it's just one of those. I mean, I'm thinking about it to say, then it's a lot. At this point in time, then the support from your partner is something that it's very important and would be pivotal in helping you also to understand the situation that you find yourself in. In this regard, where is the father? Is the father not in any way willing to even in any way accept that this is where we find ourselves? Because that acceptance coming from the father would then help, you know, the family to also warm up to the fact that this is the situation at hand.
Very often the father is not around in the picture, honestly speaking, you know. I mean, even for people that are sometimes married, when the time comes that, you know, they end up knowing, oh, so this child has been diagnosed with this particular condition and all of that, you always find that, you know, after a short period, you know, that particular couple becomes estranged. And we notice this when we see the mothers come in with children for immunization, you know. So when you really do take that psychosocial history and you want to find out if the mother has got support, remember, we also need to be able to take care of the welfare of the mother, you know, the person that most of the time is the primary caregiver of this child. Remember also some of the children that are born with special needs, they need full-time care. So which means that if the mother was working, somehow they will end up not being employed anymore. And if they can afford to hire someone or employ someone within a home to fully care for the child, or have a relative, a family member come and help them to raise the child. But this is not a child that you can say, oh, I'll take to the creche, or I can leave at home by themselves, because they can't feed themselves, they can't bath themselves, they can't do anything for themselves. So they really do need full-time care. So often the father is never in the picture. And I think it's also the influence of the society and also bringing us back into how we have stigmatized this whole thing of, you know, children with special needs and the abuse that comes along with that, you know, because not only is the child abused, but also the mother, you know, is subjected to emotional, psychological, financial, you know, and in some instances, you know, even a physical, you know, abuse as well.
Yeah, no, it's just one of those. And I guess when something like this is happening, you find yourself in a dark space. It's support. Is it something that can help? Can support maybe help? Can finding a like-minded organizations that deal with autism and the likes, can that really help one to really get over all of this? The lack of support coming from even the father and the family side. Can you reaching out to like-minded parents and those that are finding themselves in here? Otherwise, we have organizations that are also focused on just helping people deal with this. Can that come through as an assistance in this regard?
I think it 100% it can. And I think it also takes us back to the issue of how it's important that we continue, raising awareness and not be disheartened by the fact that, we keep on talking about this every year and it seems like we're not going anywhere. We are certainly going somewhere, because with platforms like the ones that we have this morning, we've already had two people that have reached out to say, look, this is my situation. I don't know where to go. And I think what I can also emphasize, Katleho, is the fact that when people go to such organizations where, for example, like you've mentioned, autism support groups and all of that, you get to be in spaces where you're going to meet other parents, meet other women, meet other professionals that are really qualified, skilled, experienced to work with, other mothers like you, and people that will know how they can direct you. And this is what is bringing us to the issue of a multidisciplinary approach when it comes to dealing with gender-based violence or abuse against women and children. Because if you go to a social worker now, they are also limited within their scope of practice as to how they can help you with medical things. Chances are the social worker will not understand when you say that you are struggling financially with a child who's got cerebral palsy. But if the mother comes to my practice, then I know what kind of needs the child has. And so therefore, if you write a letter with a treatment plan to say the child is on a PEG feed every 3 months, they have to be checked by this particular professional, a doctor in the hospital. This is the hospital, like, let's say, for example, the child has to go to Red Cross Memorial and the child is on this kind of medication every 2 months. The mother has to go and pick up the chronic medication and the child is on a specific feeding and diet and all of that. When the social worker receives the letter from me that states that this child needs this to survive and the kind of support the mother needs, the social worker continues with the counseling sessions and to help provide services. And the social worker is also able to write out a letter that can go for legal counsel and documents that can be presented into the maintenance court, because the mother does need support and all of that. So if you look at it, you would find that there's a different categories of interventions that can be implemented in situations that are around the issues of abuse of women and children. So it's not just one person. You can't go to the police station and it solves everything. So yes, you might have been a victim of rape, tragically so, and which is a very painful thing to go through. But you can also approach organizations like SADC and let them know, I have opened a case, or I have decided not to open a case of domestic violence, but I'm a victim of domestic violence. I find that I'm not coping. I'm struggling with trauma. I'm struggling with, having to relive, the event of having been a survivor of abuse. And how can I, overcome this, or what must I do? So if you reach out to organizations like FAMSA, you go there when you are a mother and there are children involved. Social workers, they are equipped. They have medical personnel there. There is, this proper platforms that can be followed. And all the services are free. So it is important that a person doesn't make like a police station their one-stop shop, because even the police themselves are limited within their scope. So I always read the comments, when we are in this season about, people who have just went to the police, they couldn't get the help and it ends there. It really doesn't have to end there, because if you have survived abuse in any way, you could still enter any state hospital and be able to say, I want to see a psychologist. They open the file for you and you tell them, this is my case. So you can be seen by a psychologist in a state hospital. You can be seen by a psychiatrist. You can be seen by a social worker. and all the services are free. As an outpatient, you know, you qualify for those services, and you don't have to have opened a case with the police or anything like that, because it is a medical emergency if you are not coping in any way with any of the traumatic experiences that you've gone through. So we have to treat it as such. You do need medical assistance and medical support.
Yeah, most definitely. My guest this morning is Sister Basha. Sister Basha is, of course, a friend of the station. She's a therapist and a registered nurse, coming through just to let us in on the 16 Days of Activism for No Violence Against Women and Children campaign. We are well within that campaign. We're going to take a quick break, a bit. When we come back, at least I will invite you guys. I see Tepiso has called as well, wants to weigh in. And there's also that second story that we have to go through with Sister Basha.
Power Zone, midnight to 3 a.m.
Power Talk with Lerato Mbele.
Questa, in the rap and hip-hop industry, people like to fight and argue. They love to be beefing, and then there are diss tracks. Kwenzakalani.
There shouldn't be any love lost. It should be healthy competition, because that's how hip-hop started, in essence. So I don't have particularly beef, because people can't tell the difference between eat beef and a battle. I mean, there's boxers who literally punch and then hug it out at the end.
And to that point, you know, Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield have launched a product together for Christmas.
You see what I'm saying? And Mike Tyson bit that guy's ear. And
it's a chocolate ear, believe it or not.
Are you serious? The product, the chocolate ear.
Yep.
Power Talk, weekdays 9 a.m. to midday on Power 98.7.
Welcome back to the show. Take charge of your finances this festive with Hollard Streetwise Finance on Power 98.7. So tune into Power Talk with Lerato Mbele every Monday at 10:30, where she'll be joined by a Hollard subject matter expert to discuss and deepen your understanding of being streetwise with your finances, so you can make smarter financial choices. Participate in the Know Your Insurance Series competition by answering a question based on one topic of the week on power98.7.co.za and stand a chance to win a 2,000 rand cash. So terms and conditions apply. Just Know Your Insurance Series is brought to you in partnership with Hollard Streetwise Finance. So Hollard Life Insurance Company is a limited, a licensed life insurer and an authorized financial service provider.
Wrapping up your day and setting a new agenda for the day ahead. Power Zone on Power 98.7.
Sister Basha, I want just before we move on to our second story to just bring in Tepiso, who's calling us from Joburg, Clearwater, and who also just wants to join us and weigh in on this discussion on the 16 Days of Activism for No Violence Against Women and Children campaign. You at home, if you are listening to us and you want to just call in like Tepiso, our dial is 0861-987-000 this morning. Tepiso, welcome to the show. I have Sister Basha on here, who also is going to weigh in. Sister Basha, I have Tepiso on the line.
Hi.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah. Tepiso, let's start with you. You can go right ahead. You have a story to share with us.
All right. Good morning to you and your guest, brother. My story started 25 years ago when I experienced my father abusing my mama. And the abuse, when I saw it, each and every day when it happened, I would see death in your house. But clearly, it didn't happen. So now when I'm speaking to you, I can see that my mama, she's struggling. Like, really, she might have a trauma. I can't describe it, but she really short-tempered. You know, so, and we haven't even spoke about it. Even the family haven't sat down and talk about it. It's just me and my mama who knows about this secret. So I think my mama, if she can get a help, I'd be relieved.
Is this something that happened 25 years ago and you're still experiencing what that 25 years has done to your mom even to date, and you're feeling that she still needs healing over what happened 25 years ago?
Well, after 25 years ago, my father passed on. After he passed on, my mama, she moved on, she found another guy, and this guy, he's doing the same thing. So this thing is like a cycle now. That's why I say, like, I think she's the one who needs help more than I.
Sister Bashab, I'm going to bring you in here. So he is calling basically Tshepiso asking for assistance on behalf of Mama Gare, saying that, you know, there's something that happened back in the years. It's repeating itself now. And basically he's seeing that there's a need for intervention here. How would you advise Tshepiso to go about it, especially when he's not the one that is actually the subject matter here, but Mama is the one that is one person that is in the receiving end?
Yes, I think, okay, so the first thing would be then that Tshepiso has to speak to Umama, because we need, obviously, the consent to speak to her, and if she is okay, and obviously, you know, treading this with caution, you know, you know, we're not, you know, living in that society where you can just easily confront your mother and say, look, I think you need to speak to a therapist or you need to speak to a psychologist and all of that. But it's important that the approach that Tshepiso also, you know, provides, you know, it's coming in a form of reassurance and support to his mom, to explain that it's important that, you know, they are really seen by someone that can help provide support and really clarity with regards to the pain that the mother has gone through in the previous years, deal with that, and also with what is happening at the moment. And as I've mentioned, you know, Katlego, our practice is really committed, you know, into really providing help and support when it comes to mental health. So Tshepiso can give us the details and also can give us, that consent, you know, making use of our WhatsApp number, of course, and the details of the mother with the contacts, and we will reach out to the mom and make sure that we provide, you know, counseling. It could be also online, or when I am in Johannesburg, the mom can come to my rooms and we can sit down and really make sure that we really unpack everything that has taken place, and also with the trauma that she's currently experiencing. And I mean, at the end of the day, Tshepiso, it's a good thing that you have reached out. I do know that sometimes for us, we feel bad when we have to speak openly about what our parents have experienced. Yeah. So it's never really a very comfortable thing. And so thank you for really calling in and letting us know. Please reach out to our to my practice WhatsApp number and give us the details, and we will gladly give Umama the support. And we also have two attorneys that have come on board to partner with us. And if there's in any way a way in which Mama needs support legally, we can also provide that for her, including a social worker that also works with us. So it's going to really just be a multidisciplinary approach to make sure that we nurture and we provide her that support.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to find out from you, Tshepiso, is this something that is also affecting you, but you know, personally, but just you having experienced that, do you feel that there are, you know, underlying traumas that you also experienced when you were seeing that growing up, that maybe sometimes when something happens and then you also maybe shock yourself and you're like, hey, this is not me, it's out of character. Don't you think that maybe there's an opportunity here for you to also come through with Mama, but you know, to make sure that also you are in the clear, because you might be carrying this baggage with you, and then only to find out that maybe it's one day you're waiting for it to just you know, for something to spark or for you to get a trigger and something bad happens, and then when we look at tracing it back, you find that no, it's actually that trauma. I think maybe you should take an advantage here and come through with Mama when she comes through.
Yeah, I will do that, because even for myself, I have a fear. I have a lot of fear, because, like, especially, you have a fear to marry these days. I have a fear to have a child. These kind of things, they would remind me, and I can lie. I can't lie about it. They will see a reality. So sometimes I don't even want them to experience what I've experienced.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, look, I mean, witnessing trauma and witnessing violence at a very early stage in life can really cause a lot of, you know, mental health challenges at a later stage in life. And like you said, Katlego, sometimes all it takes is just that one incident that will trigger, and it will obviously ricochet an event, you know, just an avalanche of events that could really be traced back to the fact that there has been, you know, pain that was induced and caused by, you know, really witnessing someone that you love, you know, be in that vulnerable state of being exposed to violence. So yes, we do carry that pain into our adulthood, and certain events can trigger, you know, that the response. So we are more than, I mean, for Tepi, so I mean, for younger people, it's easy to be technologically savvy. So we will be able to provide, you know, online services for Tepi. So just to really be able to, you know, help guide, and as to see as well, you know, what are the things to look out for to make sure that, you know, one doesn't really end up, you know, perpetuating that cycle. Because often when a person has been raised from a home where there's violence, it's often the case that, you know, violence will also be something that they carry throughout their whole life. So that is something that one can heal from, and that is the positive thing that can come out of this, the fact that we do heal out of those kind of traumas.
Yes, Tepi, so we'll link you up with Sister Basha, and then do touch base with her, and at least you hear her saying that at least with you it will be easier because you are technologically savvy, so that they prepare you for when you go to Mama and try convince her as well, convince her with something tangible to say, I've been going through this process and I've gotten so much assistance, and I think with you, Mama, if you come with me next time, or if you do it with me, you know, the following time and the likes, then you'd have some sort of a case study, you know, that you'd go to her with, and that would convince her that indeed there is help that she can get. And I can only wish you everything of the best, my brother.
Thank you, Brian. What I love about my mama, bro, she doesn't have a problem with me. Even if I come up and tell her like, hey, Mama, there's somewhere I think you need to go. She is always ready, but the problem is health. If you can't find help, the one that you're expecting, it takes time and you just give up. Thank you so much for it.
I was saying it's so nice because at least now we've connected you with Sister Basha.
Yes, 100%.
No, Sister Basha, don't be alarmed. So even, you know, you'll find a lot of tepisos that believe one is probably fielding calls, and people are calling in. They don't want to go on air. It's just one of those. So when you hear someone saying, hey, Sister Basha, I heard you with Katleho there in the morning, don't be alarmed to say, okay, where did you get my contacts and the likes? But Tepiso, we'll link you back to Livuwani, and then Livuwani would give you all the details to Sister Basha, ne?
Okay, man. Thank you.
Thank you very much, man, for calling in. Tepiso, calling in from Joburg, Clearwater. Sister Basha, we have 5 minutes left. Are we going to be able to go into the second story and do justice to it?
We can just quickly do that. The second one was the person said she shed all she lost all her possessions after a physical assault ensued between her and her partner at the time, and due to the nature of the violence, she couldn't get all her belongings back. So I think this is a situation where they were cohabitating, and after this incident, the person had to go look for refuge, and now they cannot access and have their belongings. So like we mentioned at the beginning of the conversation this morning, that we do have, you know, attorneys that can help us, you know. So this is also a lady that's also going to be receiving that kind of support, so that she can be told what she needs to do, the procedures, you know. Because for me as well, in my scope of practice, I don't know where to start when it comes to legal things, but there are people that are within their scope to be able to give that kind of counsel. And the other story is having to pay the mortgage alone after a divorce and dealing with an ex-partner who is stalking and not only relenting, ending up in a psych ward. And so this one was basically saying that, you know, obviously as a result of the physical altercations and being stalked by an ex-spouse, and now having to pay the mortgage and all the other financial obligations after the divorce by themselves has really caused them to end up in a psych ward. And I think this is just a tragedy right there, you know, having to know the reality of, you know, the implications of abuse, you know, aimed at women and children.
Yeah, and I think the connection with these ones, the latter ones that you've just spoken about, it's intimate relationship, it's partner to partner relationship, right? Where you find that you know, honeymoon phase, everything is nice, we are even moving in together, you know, and then now all of a sudden, you know, things are sour, we're no longer seeing eye to eye, you have changed the locks to the house, and the likes, but that is then a legal matter, because you have no right to do what you're doing.
Yes, of course. course. And that is why we have to obviously emphasize and highlight the importance of holistic intervention.
Yeah. Sister Basha, our time is up. How do we get hold of you? How do our people that are listening in, you know, those that maybe probably they're in this 16 days of activism space and they want to do something about their lives, turn things around like Tebiso, how do they get hold of you?
We do have a practice WhatsApp number that they can make use of between the hours of 9 o'clock in the morning until 5. It's 067-605-8893. That is the WhatsApp number. And the practice number is 021-522-9875. And also within practice hours, they can get hold of us there. And our email is info@sisterbasha.co.za.
All right, Sister Basha, thank you very much. I think we should do it again, right? So when you get, because we are in this 16 days, when you get them, maybe, you know, a lot of them, and then you get people reaching out to you, but let's reflect, you know, let's give our listeners an opportunity again to just reach out to get in touch with you so that we can spread as much assistance, you know, as we can here through your wisdom, the work that you do, and of course, our platform here at Power 987.
100%. I'm completely in, and there are people that are on standby, ready and willing to assist.
Awesome. That WhatsApp line is 067-605-8893. 067-605-8893. info@sisterbasha.co.za. So if you want to just send an email, just do that. But WhatsApp, I think WhatsApp is the easiest one. But do it between 9 to 5 because you might, you know, do it at 5 past 5 and then there's no one responding to you there. So please, Sister Basha, thank you very much for coming through. We'll chat soon.
It's only a pleasure, and thank you again to you, Katlego, and to the Power FM listeners.
All right, Sister Basha coming through. She's a registered nurse and a therapist.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.